What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Pigskin Pride Podcast. Let's sit back, relax, crack open a cold one, and talk about what just went down this last weekend in NFL football. Don't worry, it's not the alcohol. It's a Mountain Dew. I can't even afford alcohol. All right, let's be real here. No one could have expected things to go the way they did this past weekend because everybody had, first of all, most people had the Titans not even winning at all or even coming close, much less blowing out the Ravens like they did. The score may not show it necessarily. I mean, it shows a lot, but I think that the score doesn't even do the game a whole lot of justice because, my God, the Titans controlled that game from start to finish. Just suffocated Lamar Jackson. We'll get that in a minute. But today we're going to talk about the divisional round, what went down, some key things to look at, what we learned from it, and that things are going to carry on into the conference championship games this weekend and how that will affect it. And then we're going to talk about a little bit later about other stuff NFL related that have gone on, and including Antonio Brown, which he has just been a huge topic of discussion everywhere. I mean, Stephen A. Smith issued an apology saying that he was wrong, that Antonio Brown doesn't deserve a job and all the stuff, and we'll get to that later. And then, of course, we have two key players, two huge players that retired this week, and we'll talk about them and what they've accomplished and whether I think it was a right move. It doesn't really matter if I think it's a right move. It's obviously up to them, but that's what's in store. So feel free to skip the whole thing if you really are not looking forward to it, or skip to whatever part you want to listen to. But we'll get going with a division round breakdown real quick. I don't think I actually said a real word. I think I was just trying to say something so I could take a drink. It's kind of how my life goes. Here we go. First, everybody knows by now how dominant of a player Derrick Henry can be. Derrick Henry has proven game in, game out. And he led the league in rushing this year. First Titan player to do that since Chris Johnson. And we all knew how dominant that guy was for like three seasons. Derrick Henry has this thing about him. I mean, first of all, he is a physically threatening player. I mean, his presence is felt as soon as he walks out on the field. 6'3", 6'4", around there, 240-something pounds. I mean, he's the size of a tight end. I mean, I've seen tight ends that are smaller than that. And Derrick Henry comes out there as a running back that can see over some of the linemen. You got eight guys in the box going after him. He's going to run through all of them. You know, you came in, they played the number one defense in the NFL, or number one ranked defense in the NFL, the New England Patriots. Then, you know, and they run over 180 yards against them. Then he comes in to Baltimore and plays the number one team, which their defense wasn't bad either. Their run defense was actually not bad. Now they have a better secondary, I believe, but regardless, still another 195 yard game or something like that. I mean, it's like you can put your best guys out there. You can gather up your best defense, but you can't stop them. You know, it's like if you're going, and we'll get to that in a second, about if you're going to be able to beat the Titans, if you're going to stop them. So we'll get to that in a second because I'm thinking too far ahead. But no, Derrick Henry is a monster. A guy that going into the playoffs came off a 211-yard game against Houston. I mean, that's the thing about the Titans and why they're doing so well right now is they've been in playoff games since about week 15. They played the Texans, the Saints, the Texans again, then the Patriots and the Ravens. They've been having playoff games for the last month or two. I mean, it's not been slow. They've not had an easy way out. They've not been playing, you know, the Jets. They haven't been playing the Dolphins. You know, they've been playing teams that were in the playoffs. And they may not have made it as far or whatever, but regardless, they're playing top-tier teams. And so they didn't get a rest. They have been playing. They've been getting on and off of planes in different places, or they've been hosting at home. The Titans have been better on the road than they've been at home. That says something. That's impressive, especially when you are a wild card team. You've got to be great on the road. That's all you're going to be doing is on the road. Especially a sixth seed. There's no way you're going to be at home. But with this offense being behind Derrick Henry, it's, you know, and people are like, well, what's going to happen if they get, you know, if they stop him? Well, first of all, they got to stop him. I mean, that's the first thing. Say, well, what if they, well, yeah, what if? They're going to be able to do it first, you know, because the thing about Lamar Jackson, and I'll get to more about that in a second with him, but I said this, running quarterbacks, especially guys like Lamar Jackson, it's not easy to stop them. Because look, he still had over 100 yards rushing in that game, but you've got to be able to come up when it matters. You know, those big plays cannot turn into touchdowns. And the Titans did not allow a single touchdown until like late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter of that game. They had multiple red zone trips, and they ended in field goals. You know, they only allowed 9 points in the red zone against a team that was so proficient in the red zone. The Ravens were 0-3 on fourth down conversions, and each one of them was within like a yard of the first down marker, and they ran quarterback sneaks all three. And that front line stopped it. They would not allow it. They would not allow any penetration whatsoever. And that's the thing, is you can stop a player by not allowing those big plays to be turned into touchdowns. I'm sorry. Derrick Henry is going to have another game where it's going to hit 100-some-odd yards. But I feel like at this point, he's proven to be a player. Now, you know, not every player is going to, you know, even some of the best players are not going to do that every single game. You know, Walter Payton didn't rush 100 yards every game. Emmitt Smith, and, you know, but when you're on a run like this, when you have the mentality of this, this mentality of a team with destiny, this guy is driven like you wouldn't believe. This is not week four. You know, this is not, you know, this isn't early in the season or even like, you know, this isn't this is a AFC championship game, the conference championship. The Titans haven't played in the conference championship since 2002. I was a year old. I'm not used to this. I'm from Nashville. I'm a Steelers fan first, and I love the Tennessee Titans second, and it's been great to see the Titans do this well. I'm not used to it. I'm used to watching them go 2-14 or 3-13 with guys like Jake Locker, Vince Young, what's his name? Zach Mettenberger, Charlie Whitehurst, Matt Hasselbeck, the Ryan Fitzpatrick era. I mean, I'm used to all of these guys coming in here and doing. Here we are. You know, the running backs that didn't hardly anything. Dexter McCluster, Bishop Sankey. You know, like, no, DeMarco Murray. We've got a guy that is so similar to Eddie George, the Eddie George era of the dominant running, that smash mouth type of running, that he's going to jam it down your throat until you get so tired that you just can't do it anymore. Like, they're going to run the ball down your throat. And even if Kansas City can start to get a rhythm of stopping Derrick Henry, the Titans are proficient in the passing game as well. And people are going to say, well, look at the yards they've generated through the air the last two games. They haven't had to throw the ball. When your running back rushes for nearly 200 yards back-to-back games, you don't have to throw the ball for shit, man. Like, why would you? Yeah, he had, like, Ryan Tannehill, like, 7 completions for 70-something yards, whatever, one game. And the next game he threw for 80 yards. That's fine. He did what he had to do to get the ball down the field. He still had 2 touchdowns, which was surprising to me. Like, they didn't have to throw the ball. All they had to do was hand off to Derrick Henry, and he took care of the rest. Like, to me, that is the most impressive thing, is because, you know, with you have a guy that has been praised all year long for turning around this offense at Ryan Tannehill, and you have one of the best young receivers in the NFL in A.J. Brown. You also have a good tight end, Jonnu Smith, Corey Davis, Firkser, Humphreys. Henry's a good receiving back as well, and he hasn't done anything. Because you have relied on a running back that can get you there. And I'm saying that if Henry proves to be unreliable, now you know what they're going to do. They're going to, you know, now obviously they're going to fixate their game plan around Kansas City, but their offensive game plan is going to be similar to what it's been the last 2 to 3 weeks. Run the ball. Now it's going to be a little bit of both, because I feel like now that this team can run the ball so much, play action is immensely improved. Like, that's something that they can really use, is a play action style offense that they're going to be going after that ball. You have that blitz coming after running back. You're setting up one-on-ones in certain areas. I mean, you got stuff like that. That's what happened with that huge touchdown. I can't remember the guy's name. That was like his first touchdown ever I think he was a rookie. I mean, stuff like that where you're so fixated on one player that when they decide not to do that, it catches you off guard and you've got a guy wide open. Like, that's what they're going to try to rely on. Kansas City's defense has gotten better over the course of the season, but I think that's solely just been in their pass rush, which in my opinion, thinks that could become a problem for Derrick Henry. But yet again, Derrick Henry is at 8 guys in the box come after him. You know, like they put it's been the last 2 games. Number one ranked defense in the NFL couldn't stop him. Another really good run defense, and the Ravens couldn't stop him. What makes you think the Chiefs team that struggled for the majority of the year is going to be able to do the same thing? But on the other side of the ball, there was Lamar Jackson for the Ravens. Lamar is, without a doubt, going to win the MVP this year. And I'll tell you this. I know for most people that know me and have talked football with me and talk about Lamar Jackson, I just can't stand hearing him. He's a Raven, and that's most of it. But it was just the hype, you know, the overhype of a player really kills me. Like, last year, I didn't like Patrick Mahomes because that's all I heard. Patrick Mahomes, 50 touchdowns, Patrick Mahomes. When in all actuality, he was a good player, and he played very well, and he has played well this year because, look, he's back in the AFC Championship game. But it took me time and took people to not talk about him for him to really show him, you know, for me to actually kind of see it. With Lamar Jackson, I was able to watch him, not just see him through those glasses of, man, I'm tired of hearing him. I watched him play. I've watched him play multiple times. Yes, he is a running quarterback, but he's not a quarterback that can run. You know, those are two different things. With Lamar Jackson, I see a guy with mediocre arm talent, but with great speed, great running ability. And when you set up a great run game like that, regardless of whether it's a running back or a quarterback, throwing the ball is much easier, especially when you have a really good offensive line. I mean, look at this way. This may be oversimplified because this is not 100% of the case. Like, I can't say Lamar Jackson has gotten lucky on every single thing he's done. Like, you had to be able to make certain plays to be an NFL quarterback to begin with. But I just don't think that he is the purest and best passer in the league, as some people might think he is, even though he has 30-plus touchdowns. I still think that a lot of it has to do with the game plan that was set in motion by John Harbaugh and the offensive coordinator. It shows that here is that when you're a guy that they think you're going to run almost every play, they're going to send half their defense toward you. You know, they're going to blitz most of the time. That's going to leave a guy one-on-one. That's what, you know, like I'm saying with Derrick Henry, you know, when they try to go after Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill is going to throw the ball. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. He's got a lot of talent. He's got Willie Snead. He's got 3 tight ends. What other team has 3 dominant tight ends that you can rely on? And you've got a really young, talented Marquise Brown that creates separation and is great at getting yards after the catch. This offense was really loaded to begin with, and I think it was put on full display in that game, that when you make Lamar throw the ball more than he did want to, he can't do it. I mean, yeah, he had a lot of yards. That was and people want to say, oh, you're making excuses, I don't want to make excuses. I want to be literal here. As a game plan for a defense, if you're up by as much as they were and the Titans offense was eating time off the clock the way they were, the defense is not going to try as hard. They're going to let the Ravens chew clock and try to get, you know, and they're going to, you know, they're not going to let them score, but they're not going to be super down their throats like they were at the beginning of the game. They're going to let the Ravens take time off the clock, get down the field, and if they score, they score, but it's not going to matter because they're up by so much and their offense is taking so much time off the clock that it's not going to matter. In my opinion, that was going on there towards the end. And like I said, he also has some of the best, some of the better wide receivers that are able to make those yards out of the catch and that are able to create separation. And, but still, 59 times he threw the ball, completed 31 of his passes, threw two interceptions. But and regardless of what anyone says, both interceptions were his fault. The first one was thrown too high. It was too high on a guy that is not 100% healthy to begin with. Threw it way too high and bounced through his hands. Kevin Byard picked it up. And then the other one was clearly his fault. I don't think it's even debatable. Threw it way too far out. Kenny Vaccaro was able to snatch it, set him up with good field, with good field, good spot in the field. And he fumbled the ball as well. When you get in Lamar Jackson's head under pressure like that, I mean, you got to think the pressure that Lamar Jackson was under. You know, after last year's playoff disappointing, disappointing loss last year. He came in, was determined to get back to the playoffs and to get a ring this year. And now that the pressure's on, he folded. And many people have asked, do you think that's going to put a damper on the season? People say this, whatever. And in my opinion, I think it does a little bit because the last few years, the NFL MVP for the last few years has at least played in the Super Bowl. Or gotten closer than that. Like, you know, I don't know if Pat Mahomes didn't, but he got close. And it was a closer game, and he played well, a little bit better. But I think that Lamar Jackson playing as poorly as he did in that game against a defense, in my opinion, as it would play, they played great, but they weren't the best in the league, especially without some of their key players like Jayon Brown, Butler, guys like that, like they weren't even with some of their better, you know, they've been without Butler for quite a while, and Jayon Brown got hurt just recently, but they were still able to get it done with a rookie linebacker with guy Rashawn Evans, who is just now really coming out of his own here later in the year. Jeffrey Simmons, who only played like half the year, and he's playing extraordinarily well. Adoree Jackson is playing very physical football for the first time. In a while, they played great, and I feel like when Lamar plays a good defense, he struggles a lot more. I mean, every quarterback is going to struggle a little bit against a good against a good defense, but not as much where you can get anything going. You put Pat Mahomes in that position. Pat Mahomes is going to be able to get stuff done against a defense like that. He did. You know, Aaron Rodgers will do the same thing. All these guys, people want to put Lamar up there in the top three, top five quarterbacks in the NFL after 1 year. And I'm sitting there, and my thing is like, do you guys not remember Cam Newton 2015, Dak Prescott 2016, 2017? You know, I mean, do you guys not remember all these guys like the Tim Tebow, the RG3? When they came in the league their first year, they were amazing. Or like they had that one crazy year, they were amazing, and then the year after they fell off and have still yet to come back. Cam Newton hasn't come back. I know he's had injuries, but even when he wasn't hurt, he wasn't really doing all that well for him. RG3 is a backup in Baltimore. Dak Prescott is slowly trying to get back there. I know a lot of it has to do with coaching, and I think he will get at least back into like the top 10. I mean, also, I kind of think he'd be number 10 anyway. But these guys were deemed some of the best or the future of the NFL, and they fell off. You know, it's the flavor of the month kind of thing. Because once they start falling off, once they don't reach that standard you've set for them, which is so incredibly high, you're going to start to hate them or start to think that they can't actually do that job. And that's the thing with Lamar Jackson is I knew coming out of college when he was drafted, I was like, this guy is just not that good. And he wasn't. He wasn't good when he played his last year. You know, he was good enough to get them into the playoffs. But I'll be honest with you, it was a rough AFC North. You know, the Steelers struggled all year. The Bengals and the Browns weren't even really close in that contention. I mean, the Ravens kind of just had it handed to them. And they still couldn't get it done in the playoffs. And this year, 14-2, best record they've ever had in the franchise's history since they became part of the league in 96. Number one seed, first time they've ever done that as well. And couldn't get it done in the divisional round against the sixth seed Tennessee Titans, the team with the worst Super Bowl odds against the team with the best Super Bowl odds. And the one who was counted out to begin with was the one that came out victorious that accomplished it with flying colors. I just think that it's interesting how a lot of people like fall into that same trap. They fall into the same trap of, oh, this guy's been amazing this year. This guy has had a good year. He's the human highlight reel. Some guys are a highlight reel for the right reasons and some aren't. You know what I mean? Like, you know, people just tend to see the play itself. Like, a lot of people will watch a highlight reel and will only see the play itself and be like, you know, only see that one guy do what he's doing. And sometimes it is an incredible player or a credible player or whatever, but some people don't see, oh, that defense was down to like their third string or yada, yada, yada. Or like a lot of these things are circumstantial. And like I say, Lamar Jackson can be the next Michael Vick, but what did Michael Vick do? Never won a championship, never even went to a Super Bowl. Got close, never went. You know, and people want to say maybe if he hadn't gotten arrested and all that kind of stuff. I'll be honest with you, even if he had still played in Atlanta and still stayed there, they wouldn't have gone anywhere. And if he had jumped ship from there to, you know, Philadelphia as well, I mean, I'm just saying, I don't think that Mike Vick himself was the best quarterback that people think that he is. Now, I think he has more arm talent than Lamar Jackson does, and that's why I think Mike Vick is a better player, and I would rather have Mike Vick on my team than Lamar Jackson. Because Mike Vick could run, but he could also throw, and I don't think Lamar Jackson is a great quarterback. I think he's a great athlete, but I don't think he's a good quarterback. And most people will – there's guys that I work with, and then the guy especially, and they'll say, like you're tripping. Like, well, like, what? Really? Like, you just hate Lamar. I'm like, I don't hate Lamar. I hate the hype around Lamar because people just want to go ahead and give – people gave them the Super Bowl already, and that made me – that infuriated me. People already gave them the Super Bowl before the playoffs even began, you know, halfway through the season. Like, they're going to – you know, because they won, like, all their games the rest of the year after losing to the Browns. Like, it was a great regular season. Couldn't get it done in the postseason. You know, like, you can't just say that stuff too early. And that's what really made me angry with them was the fact that they just got everything like told to them. And like, Lamar Jackson is just now going to be the best quarterback of all time. And I guarantee you next year he may do fairly well, but I guarantee you the next year or two, he's going to get figured out in the sense that he's not going to be able to rush 100 yards every game, have 1,000 yards in the season. And he's going to have to rely on his arm alone, and he can't do it. I guarantee you Lamar Jackson won't be in Baltimore in about 2-3 years. And if he is, he'll be a backup or he'll be put into some other skill position because I don't think he'll last very long in this league as a quarterback. You can make bet on that. So that wasn't the only game in the divisional round that was worth mentioning. What about that game with Kansas City and Houston? That was an incredible comeback that I had never seen. Now, we all witnessed the comeback at Super Bowl 51. We've all witnessed, there's plenty of ones we can think of and talk about, but this one was incredible. I honestly thought it was going to be an AFC South, AFC Championship game. It's going to be Houston and Tennessee. 24-0, I think, was the score. And then they just score, 41 unanswered points? I mean, insane job by Andy Reid, by Patrick Mahomes, and that Kansas City team to rally around. Because, I mean, the funny thing was, so I was watching the game, and my sister had fallen asleep on the couch, and she had fallen asleep when it was 24 to nothing, and then woke up, and it was like 31-24, and she's just like, what happened? Like, what happened while I was asleep? Like, it was incredible. 5-touchdown game, 0 turnovers from Patrick Mahomes. Man, this is going to be a good game. I mean, anybody, I don't care if you're not a Titans fan. I don't care if you're not a Kansas City fan. You've got to give respect to both these teams and understand that this is going to be one of the best AFC Championship games probably ever, because the story going into it, the games they have both just come off of, the story about the Titans going on right now and how they've gotten where they are, the Chiefs trying to, you know, get redemption for last year, a prolific quarterback versus a prolific running back to see who can outgame one another. That's going to be a huge one we're going to talk about in a little bit. I think Mahomes kind of proved that he is, which I don't think he had to prove he was legit, but I think they've really proved how good they truly are. And I don't think the Texans' defense is amazing, but I think it's kind of show that this team is it can overcome adversity and won't beat themselves up. Now, I will say, these mistakes that you've made against Houston, you cannot make against Tennessee. I think anybody who has seen the Titans play the last couple of weeks can tell you the same thing, that you cannot afford to drop all these passes. They dropped like 4 or 5 in a row. You can't afford the muffed punt. Like, you can't afford to give up 24 points, because if you give up 24 points, you're down 24-0 against the Titans, it's over. Like, I'm sorry. You know, and I'm usually someone that doesn't like – I said earlier about not saying it before it's over, but, like, that's – this defense – no, not even the defense. The offense of the Titans is so good at being able to take so much time off the clock. Mike Vrabel is so good at time management, clock management, that they're able to, even if – defensively they are struggling to make a stop, offense can come out and take 5 to 7 minutes off the clock by just running the ball up and down the field. And they will take their time and they will not rush up to the line of scrimmage. And even on like a 3rd and 6 or 3rd and 7, they can run up the middle, they can run on the outside with Derrick Henry. He can pick up a first down and a little bit more, and that just takes more time off the clock. Like, there's, as a Kansas City defense, that's going to be your biggest problem. It's going to be trying to stop stuff like that. Other than that, like I'm saying, this team can overcome adversity. Even if they make mistakes, they don't let it beat them up. You know, they don't succumb to those mistakes. And that's a huge thing for them. And it shows Andy Reid is still a great coach. A guy that maybe not this year, but in the future, could still be, you know, or is still deserving of a Super Bowl championship. I guess I kind of gave away something for later. I tend to do that a lot, but can't really seem to organize my thoughts too well. But regardless, Houston blew it. I mean, that's pretty obvious. A lot that needs to be assessed in the offseason. I think Houston needs to rebuild that defense. They just don't have a lot of weapons there to help them at all. You know, like, they don't have Tyrann Mathieu, which they didn't have for very long. But they don't really have a decent secondary. You know what I mean? Like, that's a big thing, especially when you're playing a team like the Chiefs. You're going to have to be able to stop the passing game, because if you neutralize the Chiefs to their run game, they're not going to be able to do all that well. And that's, you know, that's the scary thing is for the Houston Texans. I mean, if they don't get that situated, they don't get that fixed, then they're going to be in a pretty pass-happy division, depending on how things pan out with Jacksonville, if they're going to stay with Gardner Minshew or not. I think that the – you know, and then you got the Titans who could do either or. Like, that's something they need to assess in the offseason, is trying to fix that defense, especially that secondary. I mean, that's really all that I can think of right now for that game, other than what I've already mentioned. I think that's just a huge win for Kansas City. Kind of makes this championship game a lot more interesting than it already was. And then finally, I think the 49ers are still legit. I said it last week. I said that they're NFC favorites for me. And they just a team that went out and shocked the world by beating the New Orleans Saints, and the wild card just came and were embarrassed by the 49ers. I'll tell you this. San Francisco is not last year's Rams. They're not the, you know, they're not the Panthers from 2015. They're not, you know, like, they are a legitimate team. They are well-rounded. I mean, I think Jimmy Garoppolo at times gets more credit than he deserves, and at times doesn't get as much credit. You know what I mean? Like, it just depends on the day. It depends. It almost felt like at the beginning of the year, all their success was being attributed to him when he was only throwing for 200-something yards. The thing is, he is such a good game manager that he's able to do what he can. He's like Ryan Tannehill in a way. He doesn't have to put huge numbers up to make a difference. He's not turning the ball over right now. He's not making huge mistakes. He's getting where it needs to go. Good run, good running offense from the 49ers. Great defensive line. This team's just more well-rounded. Probably one of the best well-rounded teams in the NFL. There's not a single thing on that team that concerns me. Great wide receiving core, good young quarterback, good running back, good front line. Secondary is good, especially led by one of the best, if not one of the best corners in the NFL. Like, this team is dangerous. And if I'm Kansas City and if I'm the Titans, I'd be scared to go into the Super Bowl to play this team, because I'm sorry, even though Green Bay has got Aaron Rodgers, they've got a good run game, and defense is good enough to get them some of those games, they're not going to be able to beat the San Francisco 49ers at Levi Stadium. Last time they played, they were embarrassed, and I think they're going to be embarrassed this time. Now, I don't think it's going to be like super embarrassing, but I just don't think that they're going to be able to put up a crazy fight against the 49ers. I say San Francisco is going to the Super Bowl for the first time since, what was it, 2013, 2014 against the Ravens. But I think this team is a team to watch. It's a very dangerous team for whoever has to play them. That's pretty much the breakdown of the divisional round. Last week I went 4-0 in my picks. I'm not going to pick this week because I'm superstitious. I mean, I guess technically I really didn't pick last week for all of them. Like, I didn't really pick the Titans game. I just said they could win. Yeah, I picked them to win, but I didn't really say that they were, because I was superstitious that I said if they wouldn't. Just tells you what kind of stuff goes on in my brain that I'm just so whatever. But looking ahead, we still got two games left. This upcoming Sunday, we have the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship. We can do a preview real quick of the AFC Championship, which is I'm excited. I'm anxious. I'm hungry. Everything. I'm feeling all the feelings right now for this game. I mean, my God. Because as a Titans fan, I have watched this team play so well and then implode on itself. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen it year in, year out, but I've never seen this team be this consistently great, you know, for this long. Because even in the game that they lost against New Orleans, they played pretty well, and it was a close game. And they played great against the Texans the next game, which now they're playing without a majority of their starters. But then you saw how they played against New England and Baltimore. Yada, yada, yada. We won't get back into that too much. But now they're going into Arrowhead, and they're going to play the Chiefs. And I think this is going to be their hardest game yet. And most people will say, well, why wouldn't you think that their game against Baltimore was the hardest one? And some would argue it was the Patriots, whatever. I say no, because I feel like the Chiefs are a team that has faced the better teams this year. Have overcome some adversity in the fact that they lost Pat Mahomes, and when they got him back, I mean, Pat Mahomes played so well against the Titans when he wasn't even 100%. He's going to be 100% this game. They have a better quarterback than the Ravens and the Patriots do. They have a great receiving core with wide receivers and a tight end. And their D-line has improved over the course of the season. And that's going to be scary for the Titans. But here's the interesting thing. So the Chiefs are so good at scoring so quickly. You know, blink of an eye, boom, 7 points are put on the board. You know, but you give the ball right over to the Titans, and they're going to take 5 to 7 minutes to go down the field and get those same 7 points. And you got the Chiefs' offense on the sideline. Well, what good was that? Well, I mean, what good was that going down the field and taking a minute and a half to do it? If they're going to go ahead and take the rest of the first quarter to get on the board, this is going to be a long day. That's exactly what the Titans are able to do. They're able to chew as much time off the clock as possible to make it a lower scoring game. And that makes it easier for a team with less talent to be able to win games like that. I mean, I feel like that was a huge part in how they were able to beat the Patriots and beat the Ravens. Because I'm sorry, regardless what anyone wants to say, the Titans do not have as much talent on their team as the Patriots or the Ravens did, especially not the Ravens. They don't have as much talent. Now, they do have a lot of talent, but they're still falling short of that. They're still a 9-7 sixth seed team that barely got into playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, they had to win one. They had to win one last game to get in. You know, my thing is when you have a great coach, because Mike Vrabel is the best Titan. I'm just going to put this out right now. I think Mike Vrabel has already established himself as one of the greatest Titans head coaches. I mean, you know, I'm putting him up there with like Jeff Fisher in his glory days, kind of stuff like that. Like, that's pretty much where he didn't really have a whole lot of competition, because, I mean, we haven't really had as many head coaches that were even good to begin with, but much less like a lot of them anyway. But Mike Vrabel has already proven himself to be a great young head coach. He has studied under Bill Belichick. He played for him. He knows his tendencies, and he has adapted those into his own coaching style. He knows how to win games against every type of team. And he knows, and I would hope that he would know, he knows that his team necessarily isn't the best team on paper compared to the other team. But he's not going to let that change how the game unfold. He's not going to let that determine how the game's going to go. It's like an any given Sunday kind of thing. There have been teams that have lost to teams that were well beneath their playing level. The Titans, in my opinion, have pulled off some huge games, but they weren't miracles. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like it was a miracle field goal. It was a lot of mistakes. Like, they play great football with guys that you wouldn't expect to play this great of football. It's because I feel that with a lot of confidence that they have built up, this momentum they have built up over the last month or two of all these very important games they've been playing, and they've, you know, they won in Houston, they won in New England, they won in Baltimore. Now they got one more game until they go to the Super Bowl. If they can just get past this one, they have got so much momentum. They are a bullet train that has not been stopped or slowed at all. And they're about to face a Kansas City team that just came off a huge win, but also made a lot of mistakes to begin the game. This is the Titans team that is not going to let you make those mistakes and still come out with a win. This isn't Houston. This is Tennessee. You know, the Titans are a team that they are playing to their opponent's level in a good way. They are playing up to their level. They are getting themselves the opportunities to win those games. It's not a shootout. Because I'll tell you what, the Titans would not win in a shootout, in my opinion, against Kansas City Chiefs right now. I know they did earlier in the year, but that's not going to win them right now. This is a 100% Patrick Mahomes. And you're in the playoffs. And their defense has improved immensely over the course of the season. Since that game, they've improved a lot. You're not going to be able to win a shootout against the Chiefs unless you get the ball last. You know what I mean? Like, it's under circumstance. Like, you've got to get the ball last. The Titans need to stick to what they've been doing the whole postseason. Time management. Making the most of every opportunity. I mean, look at this. This is something that I saw earlier that was really astonishing to me about stat about the Titans. The Titans, the last 10 games, every drive, all their scoring drives, in the last 10 games have been touchdowns except one. The last thing, they have not attempted a field goal since week 15. I mean, the Titans have not attempted a field goal since week 15. I mean, look, I can't even count how many of these are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's okay. I was doing a little more. That's 43 touchdowns against one field goal in the last 10 games on scoring drives. That is incredible. But they're not trying to do shootouts. They're just trying to get themselves in a good position. Capitalize on opportunities that you're setting up for yourself or that the other team sets up for you, which they've been doing. They are very efficient in red zone offense. And, first of all, they're the number one team in red zone offense. But even aside from that, they're so good at getting down the field and taking as much time to do so. They don't rush. They take their sweet time getting down the field because they know they milk the clock as long as they want, as long as they've got the point differential, as long as they've got the point advantage, that they're fine. And that's what Kansas City is going to have to watch out for. And the last time these two teams met, I mean, Pat Mahomes put up 400 something yards against the Titans. Wasn't even 100% healthy. Last two games, Derrick Henry has rushed for over 180 yards in both games. Which player is going to have those crazy stats? You know what I mean? Like, those are two players you got to watch out for. Like, yeah, you got to watch out for Travis Kelce. You got to watch out for Tyreek Hill. You got to watch out for A.J. Brown. You got to watch out for Ryan Tannehill, but when you're going into this game, what are you really thinking about? What are the two guys that have really made those two teams worth watching that have made them and gotten them where they are? It's been Patrick Mahomes for the Chiefs, and it's been Derrick Henry for the Titans. Derrick Henry has had probably the best run, postseason run, of any running back in NFL history. Do you think he's not going to stop now? Like, I was watching some earlier, and someone said that the Chiefs can hold him, if they can hold him to 150 yards. Like, hold him to 150 yards? Like, that just tells you how incredibly talented and, like, disastrous this guy is. That you got to hold him to 150 yards to try and win. Like, that right there should win you a game regardless. But this guy is getting closer to 200 yards a game and is able and can beat you in multiple areas, not just up the middle or outside runs. He can catch the ball and make plays as a receiver. And we saw he can play quarterback. He can do jump passes. He can do the Tebow. But if you're the Titans, you got to worry about the fact that you're not just covering one guy. I mean, you got multiple guys you got to cover. So, you know, you let, Travis Kelce, you can't let Travis Kelce become a problem. That's going to be a guy that they're going to want to try to shut down. Now, they've also got Tyreek Hill, a guy that has proven to be probably the fastest NFL player of all, like one of the fastest NFL players of all time. A guy that when he gets in the open field, it's just like bye. You know, like he throws the deuces up and it's over. And you got Mecole Hardman, who is shown to be a difference factor for that offense as well. Like, I mean, you have three guys to try and shut down. They don't have the personnel to do it. I say they got Logan Ryan. They've got Adoree Jackson. They've got Kenny Vaccaro. Like, those are the three guys you're going to have to be able to do that. And I'm sorry, not all three of them are going to be able to do that. There's going to be those big plays. But what the Titans are great at, they are a bend but don't break. They're a bend but don't break type of defense. They can allow some of those big plays, but they're not going to let you capitalize on those big plays. Like I said, I mean, you saw what I did. It was last week against the Ravens. Marquise Brown caught the ball like inside the 5 yard line. It was like closer to the 3 or 2. They scored a field goal. Like, I get they only had one play. I'm sure if it was different, whatever. But regardless, they had one play, and they held them to a field goal. Every time they got close in the red zone, they were able to hold them for the most part. That one touchdown. I mean, the Tides are going to be on it. And they got to make sure that they are. They can't allow those big plays to change things. They can't allow those big plays to change the momentum, to let them capitalize on those plays, or else they're going to be in trouble and the Tides are going to be playing from behind, which they haven't done. That's also an incredible thing. The Titans have not played from behind the whole postseason. They have led all 8 quarters that they have played. They have had the lead in all 8 quarters that they have played. I think that's right. I think the Patriots may have scored 3-0 on them, but past that. So, like, past that, they have led the rest of the game. You know what I mean? Like, they have not really played from behind a whole lot. Like, I'm not going to say down from a field goal in the first quarter is really playing from behind. That's just that happens. Like, that's just how a game starts out. But, like, other than that, like, they didn't play from behind during Ravens, though. And that's really accomplishing something because every team I feel like has played from behind against them all year long. And that's what this is going to be. Like if the Titans can score first and keep Kansas City from doing that, like if they can hold Kansas City to the field goals majority of the game and get out there and chew more time off the clock, then the Titans have this. But they can't allow those big plays. If Kansas City can generate those kind of big plays, capitalize, neutralize Derrick Henry, and then make Ryan Tannehill throw the ball more, and then shut down the. I mean that this the Chiefs defense has a tough task at hand. I feel like it's really going to come down to what the Chiefs offense can do. That's what's going to get them this. What can win them this game? Because yeah, their defense has improved, but they've got a lot. They've got to shut down. Same thing with the Titans defense. They've got a lot of shut down. But the difference is if you can shut down the passing game for the Chiefs, the running game isn't all that great. And the Titans running game has been really running defense has been pretty good. At least, you know, I know they allowed a lot on Lamar Jackson, but like I said, they didn't really get much out of it. They got a huge play that didn't really score off them. I'm just saying it's a very interesting game to watch. Tennessee can pull this off. Tennessee can go to the Super Bowl. It'd be really interesting and really it'd be amazing to see that. My town, the city of Nashville, where I'm at, we'd be ecstatic. I mean, I work at a sports store. I sell jerseys and hats and shirts and stuff. Like, could you imagine? We're going to get all these if the Titans win, we get all these Super Bowl shirts or AFC Championship shirts. I got to take like 10, you know, I got to buy like 10 at once and like pass them out to, you know, friends and family. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm excited about that and hope that can happen. Like, I want to be able to experience that. Because I've never gotten to experience my town being something like that. Because I'm not a Preds fan. Not at all. I'm a Penguins fan. So I got to experience it a little bit when the Stanley Cup, it was the Pens and the Preds. But other than that, like being a football fan primarily, I have not gotten to experience that. And I want to be able to with people that are also experiencing that for the first time. All my fellow Titans fans that weren't around or weren't old enough to be there when they made it back in 99. It's an amazing story. I mean, they are on a historic run right now. They are very reminiscent of the 07 Giants and how they came and they beat the best team in NFL history or one of the best teams in NFL history to win the Super Bowl. It can happen. It can happen. The Tides have been left out. They have been put out. They said, you know, they can't do it, and they've proven you wrong. And I think that they can continue to do that as long as they keep playing the way they have and not letting them get too far ahead of themselves. Hey, what's up, everybody? If you could just drop what you're doing, I'm sure you're listening to me right now, or maybe you've skipped all of this and don't want to hear me talk. That's just fine. But I would really appreciate your support if you could just take time out of your day to go and follow me on Instagram at PigskinPride. I post memes, I post updates, anything NFL. I'm sure you can get a laugh occasionally out of it. Just please help me out here. You also will get updates, like I said, for whenever I post a podcast or anything other newsworthy things that happen for this account. So if you are a fan of mine or a fan of football, please follow me at PigskinPride on Instagram. Can Aaron Rodgers get back to the Super Bowl? not this year. I've been kind of adamant about how I feel about the 49ers, how I feel about how they've played this season and how talented I think that they really are. I don't think the Packers can go into Levi Stadium and walk out NFC champions. You know, I don't feel that they have the complete team like the 49ers do. They've got a great, like I said, they got a good run game with Aaron Jones. They've got a good quarterback, a couple of playmakers around, a couple of, you know, skill players. And like I said, defense is good enough to get things done, but they're not that front line of the 49ers. The receiving core is not the same. You know, you don't have three guys. You don't have Emmanuel Sanders, Debo Samuel, and George Kittle. Running back, kind of even. Maybe I favor Aaron Jones. I don't think that it's the same. You know, the Niners are a better team. And I think that's going to give them an edge. Now, like I said earlier, I said it might be embarrassing. Now, that part I could get wrong. It could be a closer game than it was at the beginning of the year, but I still just don't think that the Packers have what it takes to come out victorious. I think that it's going to be the 49ers hosting the NFC or representing the NFC in the Super Bowl this year. So I would say that Garoppolo needs to pack up and make sure he's got a lot of suntan lotion and stuff, even though it's February. I'm sure it's not that hot, but you get the point. I'm trying to get a metaphor here because he's going to Miami. All of them are going to go to Miami, and they are going to play in the Super Bowl this year. Now, who they're playing is still up for debate because I think the AFC Championship game is going to be the one to watch. Both games have the potential to be interesting, but I think the AFC one will be a lot more of a game, will be a game that can go either way. I think that this one is a little bit more easy to kind of predict and a little bit more one-sided than the other. And that kind of wraps up. I know I really didn't have as much to say about the NFC. There's really not much to say. I mean, they're a better team overall. And I think it's just going to show when they play on Sunday. Like I said, that kind of wraps up the preview of the conference championship games on Sunday. Let's see how I do. Let's see how these teams do, I guess. I mean, I'm confident in my picks and what I believe. Just ready to watch and to finally breathe once it's over. So I guess we have more to talk about with the scum of the NFL. A guy that at one point was my favorite player. I still have his jersey. I watched him every game and was so excited to see him play, Antonio Brown. So Antonio Brown is in more controversy. His agent just recently quit, just as they parted ways, said he will not represent him unless he seeks counsel, which basically means if your agent says that you're insane and you're crazy, I think it says something. I think it means that you need help. I don't know. I mean, at the very beginning of the season when in the off season when he was creating problems, I just thought that he had a very overinflated ego, and he has for the most part. You know, success can really change people. The whole situation with wanting it out of Pittsburgh, wanting to go somewhere else, like that just seemed like a brat type of move. He just, whatever, he goes to Oakland and he ruins that whole scenario with the helmet, the foot, the not coming up to camp, all that kind of stuff, standing up, John Gruden. That to me seemed like more brat, egotistical, type stuff, like literally something I think that T.O. would have done back in the day. And then he gets to New England, sexual assault allegations come out. He only plays one game, and then he's out. And he hasn't been with a team since. And he wants to talk about why he's not in the league. He wants to try to be like Colin Kaepernick was and be a martyr because of this or that. He calls the NFL racist, and then he apologizes, and then he says something else by the NFL derogatory, and then he apologizes again. And his manager, which blatantly you could tell it was his manager writing, because he doesn't have the literacy to be able to write some of the stuff that's being said. But stuff that's like, oh, I'm, you know, sincerely apologize to Mr. Kraft and all that stuff. And like, I saw that, I'm like, that's not the person you need to be apologizing to. You need to apologize to the Steelers organization, to the Raiders organization, to the fan base, the people that bought your, I mean, the Raiders fans that bought your jersey, that spent their hard-earned money on a $100 to $150 jersey for you to never even play for them. Like, that's got to be a blow in the head. Like, I work at a store where, in a sports store, and you also could get, you know, your stuff embroidered. I've seen people come in with Raiders hats with Antonio Brown embroidered on the side. I'm like, my goodness. Like, I couldn't imagine. You know, like, I only have one thing that's Antonio Brown. I only have the one jersey. I have a bobblehead, but I painted a clown face on him and made him Antonio Clown, so it's all good. I was going to do the same thing with the jersey, but I just haven't had the time yet. But it's just like, you have a lot of other people to apologize to, and it just seemed like you were trying to either A, save face, or B, just, you know, suck up to get your job back in the one place. And then it was right after he was going on their tirade. I think that he has really terrible support group, really terrible friend group of people that are enabling him and letting him do this. Because that's the most mind-boggling thing, is when I go on his Instagram and you see all these people that support him and tell him, like, who are you and why are you enabling him? It's your fault that he doesn't have a job. It's your fault that he's continuing, you know, for in a certain sense. You are helping him ruin his career. Because if he would stay off social media, if you would tell him that he needs to stop, he's not going to listen to Stephen A. Smith. He's not going to listen to all his people. He's going to listen to the people that he knows and loves that are going to tell him this. I feel like, you know, and if he gets so full of himself and so that he's not going to listen to those people, then he's too far gone. And I think he's getting to that point. That point is rapidly approaching. As we see with him broadcasting a police encounter to his house, throwing out so many expletives at the officers in front of his own children, talking about them, calling them different types of names, throwing things at them, saying all this. And he broadcast this and posted on social media, and he's done this before. He does this so that it makes him look like a victim, makes the other party look like the bad guys, which in fact, it always is the other way around. And the thing is, he's going to think that people are just out to get him, that nothing he can do is ever right. Well, I'm like, here's my thing. You've tried to victimize yourself in situations where you were being the asshole. You treated Juju Smith-Schuster like crap. Juju Smith-Schuster did nothing but show respect and love for you. Even when he didn't play well this year, you treated him like crap. All he ever said was, yeah, I'm not Antonio Brown yet. I've still got a lot to work on before I ever get to that point. You know, like he has admitted and he has recognized the amount of talent that Antonio Brown has and that he is not there yet. And that's what he wants to be. But no one wants to be Antonio Brown now. They may want the talent, but they don't want that the attitude, the ego, the everything about him. He is a terrible role model. I mean, it's scary to think that there are kids, there are athletes out there that think that that's how to handle things, that's how to be. Because there are people that support Antonio Brown that say, brother, get back in the game, you deserve to be in the game. No, he does not. Antonio Brown does not even deserve to be a towel boy for any team. Doesn't even deserve to serve water to the junior varsity high school team. Like, he doesn't deserve that. He has ruined everything. And people have helped him get there. If he would just get off social media for a month or two, get help, quit all the stupid crap that he is surrounding himself with, not that stupid music video stuff, the no white women 2020 kind of crap, like, forget all that. Here's my thing. This goes beyond football. This goes beyond being an NFL player. Being a wide receiver, being a Steeler, being a Patriot, being a whatever. This goes as far as you being a father. Because when you start posting that kind of stuff on social media, you give us the right to talk about your personal life because you're broadcasting it for the world to see. So I'm going to say it. What kind of a father do you want to be? Because forget it. You're not going to be a wide receiver in the NFL anymore. Unless you truly turn everything around and prove to people that you can do that. But you're going to have to get help to do that. You can't just say that everything's changed. Because you've said that, and then there you go again. No more social media. Get a manager that cares about you. Surround yourself with people that care about you. Understand that if you do want a shot at this, then you're going to have to do what it takes. As a dad, I'd be embarrassed to have Antonio Brown as my father. To be at school and he'll say, well, your dad did this time. Like, yeah, I know. I'd be embarrassed. And they may not be. I mean, they've got everything in the world until dad goes broke because he doesn't work anymore and he spends all his money on stupid shit. It's not just football, man. It's a life. It's your livelihood. You've ruined a lot of things for you. You're not ever going to get sponsored. You're not going to play for a team. You're not going to work around football because it's not like you're going to be a commentator or anything like that. Like, no one's going to want to work with you. You have a lot of people that support you, but in the same vein, don't really help you because they're letting you do this. They're letting you self-destruct yourself. That's kind of a oxymoron, kind of a double negative there. But regardless, they're letting you destroy yourself. They're letting you do this to yourself. And that's not right. AB needs help. I think everyone knows that. It's quite prevalent that he's not okay. I don't know what it is that's happened, what is wrong with him, but something isn't right. This goes way beyond being a brat. This goes way beyond having overinflated ego. There's something mentally not right about his demeanor, about how he acts, and the things that, and the decisions that he makes. There's something not right. And it needs to be addressed and fixed before he ever even considers, or any team even considers, handing him a contract or giving him an opportunity to be on their team. Well, speaking of players that won't be playing in the NFL anymore, two very prolific players have both retired this week. One we saw coming. We're kind of surprised that it hadn't happened already. And the other one kind of shocked all of us. It's kind of like Andrew Luck. Luke Kuechly of the Carolina Panthers retired. He was picked 9th overall in the 2012 NFL draft. I mean, I just want to read some of the numbers here about Luke Kuechly that he's done. As if you didn't know already that Luke Kuechly was a game changer and an amazing player. 18 interceptions. He's not a corner. He's not a safety. He was a linebacker. Linebackers usually don't get that many interceptions in a career spanning 10 or more years, much less the short time he played. 7 forced fumbles, 9 fumble recoveries, 1 recovered for a touchdown, 12.5 sacks. That's probably not the best stat on him, but still 12.5 sacks, 1,092 total tackles. 690 of them were solos, and then the other 402 were assisted tackles. I mean, that's a game changer right there. Because even though here's another fact here. He had 75 tackles for a loss and 31 QB hits. He may not have had a lot of sacks, but he did rush the quarterback a lot and got in his face and hit him. That's a difference maker doing that. He was versatile. You know, he could play a pass rush, but could also drop back into coverage. And that's what made him so versatile and so different from other guys at the position. He was the 2012 Defensive Rookie of the Year and the 2013 Defensive Player of the Year and a 7-time Pro Bowl player. And a lot of people have been like, you know, I've had people say, man, he had a lot left in him. He should have played and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we're kind of seeing this. Like, Andrew Luck could have played a couple more years and probably could have gotten closer to a ring, especially if he had gone somewhere else. I don't think he would have actually won it in Indy. But you got to think about this. It's more than football. Football is a game. It is a job for a lot of, for everybody that's there as well. It's not, you know, but it's also a game. And some games you can't play forever. And when you've made all that money, you don't have to worry about continuing to play the game if you're not healthy and if you don't feel like you can continue to do it. Like, that's the amazing part, is that you don't have to play forever, especially when you're at that high of a level, made that much money. I think Luke Kuechly made a smart decision. He's banged up. He's made enough money. He feels that he is looking out for himself and his future to stop now and to be able to just enjoy the rest of his life healthy and not be like some of these guys that have played so far into their career that they're living with the consequences as they progress in age. And then we had Antonio Gates. Antonio Gates, one of the best tight ends in the NFL in NFL history. Hate the fact that he played with the Chargers, because, I mean, when you have Philip Rivers as your quarterback and you play with that team, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. But he played in 236 games in his career. My God. 955 receptions for 11,841 yards and 116 touchdowns. That's as a tight end. 8-time Pro Bowler and 3-time first team All-Pro. Antonio Gates was, I think, what, 35, 36 years old right now, and as he retires. A guy that was a workhorse and continued to play. And to be honest with you, I never really got to watch Antonio Gates as much as other players. But I kind of do wish he was one of those players. I feel like if he had played in a different team with a better quarterback and a better coach, better system, he would have more success, even more success than he did here. Like, this, the numbers show that he was a successful player and he's a Hall of Fame worthy player in the future. But would have been cool to see him play in a Super Bowl or win one. But like I said, being 35, being a tight end and saying that old, you're seeing that more and more right now with, like, Delanie Walker right now is at that age. And you also had Tony Gonzalez do that. He lasted for a while. Keith Miller, Jason Witten. Like, these are tight ends that are staying late in their 30s, getting almost to 40 years old, still playing because they have something they want to prove. And they have something that they're chasing after. Antonio Gates, unfortunately, like Tony Gonzalez, didn't get there, didn't reach it. And kind of like Jason Witten, because I don't believe Jason Witten will ever get it either. Which is sad, because they're definitely worth it. They definitely deserve it. They have put in the work, and they are very talented and very respected players on and off the field. And I think Antonio Gates' legacy with the Chargers, he's definitely one of the best Chargers of all time, one of the best tight ends of all time. He ranks up there with guys like LaDainian Tomlinson and Dan Fouts, like the best Chargers of all time. And I think he's a guy that will be enshrined in Canton one day. Maybe not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but it'll definitely be there one day. So yeah, that wraps up this episode. We've talked about a lot. It's been a longer episode. We're we're about an hour in. So, as always, if you enjoyed, subscribe for more. Try to put more of these out. Try to do every week. I know the off season makes it hard to do that, not as much goes on. Mostly like the draft and free agency kind of stuff. Because the next one after this is we're going to be talking about Super Bowl predictions. Because after this, we're going to have our Super Bowl matchup. So that's exciting. As always, if you like this and you want to hear more or want to be kept in touch on updates for this, follow us at Pigskin Pride on Instagram, where I post memes and post all sorts of updates about when these podcasts come out or any other newsworthy items. So, like as always, thank you for listening, and y'all have a good, safe weekend watching these games. Hope your team wins. If your team's sitting at home like my Steelers are, just try to enjoy yourself. Hey, Patriots ain't there. Ravens ain't there. You're fine, unless you're a Patriots or Ravens fan. Hate it for you. But anyway, y'all guys take care.